On this episode of the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast, Ghost Joe and Creepy Ken talk about haunted dolls, everything from the Twilight Zone's Talkie Tina to your favorite little redhead. So buckle up, lady. We're going for a ride. Let's go.
Do aliens exist and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast, Season 5, Episode 2. I can't believe it's Season 5 already. I
can't believe it's Episode 2.
I know, right? I know. Oh, that's all right. So I'm Ghost Joe, and you know that's Ken. No, I'm just
Creepy Ken.
Creepy Ken. That's gonna stick. That's gonna stick, and I don't know if you want it to.
that name's gonna stick. I don't know what. I'm a man. I don't know what I want. That's what we all do, right?
So we have a good show for you guys tonight, and this is gonna be all about haunted dolls. So, yeah, we have some haunted dolls to tell you about because there's more than just you think. You know, there's a lot more than you might know about. Of course, you know, we're going to talk about the big ones that everybody has heard of, but we might go into a little bit more detail than you might even know about. So, yeah. Also, well, actually, Ken, did you actually know that I actually had a haunted doll once?
Really?
Yeah. It was really cool, man. It was crazy though. You know, I unfortunately had to get rid of it. What happened was the doll was like life size, blonde hair, blue eyes. And she always had like this surprised, like really terrified look on her face, you know, and just one day, I don't know what happened, man. Like she deflated and I had to get rid of her, you know? And I don't know. I really don't know what happened. I mean, one day I went to go get her from under my bed and it was over, bro. I had to get rid of her.
Friction holes. Friction holes.
that's, is that the paranormal term? Friction holes?
Yes. That's what it is.
I've been awesome. Sitting on that one. I've been sitting on that one since we've been talking about this, by the way.
Well, you sat on her. That's why she deflated.
Hey, that's true. That's true.
Oh, that was a good one, man.
Thank you. So, yeah, guys. So we're going to get into some haunted dolls here. I guess, what do you want to start with? Do you want to start with the big one or do you want to start with the smaller ones and then go for the bigger ones after?
Yeah, let's start with the smaller ones because they're
kind of easy.
The ones that and I'm not too familiar with, and I'm sure you're not either.
Right.
And I don't know if anybody really is.
Yeah, no, it's true. Actually, and you know, we've all heard of these haunted dolls. You know, like of course you got the Annabelle movies, and I think it really stems back to the Twilight Zone. You know, with Talkie Tina. You remember that episode with Talkie Tina? That was one of my favorite Twilight Zone episodes of all time, man. And that was probably, I don't think that there was anything before that. You know, I think that might have been like the first like spooky, creepy doll thing that ever came out was probably from that episode. You know.
Yeah, that was a great episode too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because and it's funny because that episode kind of, I don't know if you would say mirrors the whole Annabelle thing, but it's more like it wasn't Chucky running around with a butcher knife. You know what I mean? Like it was like she was left on the steps or somehow she got on the steps and the dude tripped and stuff like that. So it was like, you know, weird occurrences where, yeah, it was her, but you didn't see her doing it, you know?
Yeah.
So I always loved that one. But so which one you want to start with, man? It's your choice.
Let's go to Mandy.
Okay.
Let's do Mandy. It's considered Canada's weeping porcelain terror. And you know, it's in a museum in Canada, and you know, since they're a little bit French up there, I have a hard time pronunciating some of their words. Like, I don't know what the heck the proper name of this museum is. It's like the Quesnel or something like that. I don't know. You know, I'm not French. It's like the Quesnel Museum. But yeah, it's kind of a cool story, man. It arrived there in 1991, and now it's close to being 100 years old at the time we're speaking about it. And it was received by a donor who got it from her grandmother, and it was locked in a trunk for like years and years and years. And she gave it to her granddaughter, and it pretty much gave the granddaughter the creeps. So she donated it to the museum because she said it made her feel weird. So that's kind of the start of it. But it she said that it would cry and do all kinds of weird, you know, things like that. She'd hear voices, and it's a really cool story. But the first night that it arrived at the museum, the very first night, the staff started reporting strange occurrences. And she was heavily photographed because they added it to the collection. And then they left her in a lab overnight. And when staff members arrived in the morning, they found the lab was completely in disarray, man. Like a small child had been throwing a temper tantrum inside of this lab, which is pretty dang creepy. Listen, if there's two things that scare me, I don't like dolls, man. Even the plastic ones that, you know, deflate. I don't like, they creep me out, man. There's something about those dead eyes, man. They're like almost like vessels for just waiting for something to take them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a representation of the human body, you know, and
right.
They look real. And that creeps me out, man, because I remember when I was a kid, my aunt used to collect dolls. And I think this is what creeped me out was I'd have to sleep in this dang room every time I stayed the night over at her house, and I hated it. And the dolls would just, I felt like they stared at me all night. And there was like hundreds of dolls all around me, man. And I couldn't get no sleep, man. I don't like dolls, and I don't like garden gnomes for very good reason. And that's a different story, but garden gnomes creep me out too. Yeah, dude, they creep me out. I don't like them.
I don't know. I have a kind of a love for garden gnomes only because of that, that show that used to be on Nickelodeon when we were kids. You know, I think it was like, like the gnomes. I think it was actually called like the gnomes or the land of the gnomes or something like that. I remember that. And they all kind of look like the garden gnomes, you know? So I kind of have a little soft spot for the gnomes. But I actually used to, for real though, I actually did have, I don't know if it was haunted, but I actually used to have like an old ventriloquist dummy that I had gotten from my neighbor. And I ended up, stupid me, because it probably would be worth money now, but I'm stupid. And I ended up, it gave me the creeps and I threw that shit out, you know, but it, you know, but yeah, no, that was, and it was like, it was the one with like the, it looked like it had freckles on it and with the, like just the mouth moved. It was really freaky looking, man. It was definitely, it looked like the thing from Dead Silent, like the movie Dead Silence or whatever, like the front of it. That's what it looked like. So I'm like, yeah, no,
anytime
this is not staying in my house,
up the
man.
Ass or something. Anytime you stick your hand up the ass of something and pretend to talk, it creeps me out. That's creepy.
Yeah, it's never a good thing, you know. Like you can't really think of a good time when that's actually a good thing, you know.
No. And you know, I think there's a lot. I've heard about a couple of ventriloquists talking about their dummies taking, they feel like they have a life of their own. And it's kind of weird because, you're using that as part of your, you know, who knows what you're rubbing off on that thing. It's taking its own energy from you.
Right.
And what that creates, man.
Yeah. I mean, you wonder what actually, why some of these things or some of these entities or spirits or demons possibly use these dolls, you know. Is it because they're around people and they know that, I don't know what attracts them to it. Maybe it's just because it looks like a person, so they, you know, kind of like what you were saying before, you know, it resembles a person, so it's like the next best thing if they could, you know, go into that vessel, You know, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's always been, yeah, especially with this case, especially like crying. Oh my God. Like if you just heard crying at a, in a museum, just out of nowhere, like you're the night security guard and you hear crying, that would definitely, I mean, I'm a ghost guy and I think I'd probably end up quitting from that. You know, yeah, like,
I don't like that. No way.
Yeah. Yeah, it was insane.
You know, another cool thing that happened with this Mandy doll is after they got her settled into the museum, they had given her a, well, actually, after she got to the museum, I guess the crying stopped completely, which was crazy. Hmm. But they gave her a stuffed lamb to keep her happy, you know, company and keep her good. And like the very next morning, they found this lamb outside of her display case. And it was a locked display case that she's in. So how did that happen?
Wow. Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
So why?
Yeah.
I'm wondering too, though, like why was this doll given to a museum? Like why would a museum take this doll? It was an antique. Like maybe it was, I don't know. I mean, you would.
It was an antique. So it was. Think about it. It was like 70 years old. They said it was made of like wood composite and different things like that. So it wasn't like a porcelain. Well, I don't think it was porcelain, even though it's, I don't think it had any porcelain, maybe the eyes, but they said it was made of wood composite, which is really crazy.
So let's go with Joliet now. Joliet. Is that how? Yeah. Joliet. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Another almost French thing, man. These French people like their dolls.
And they like haunted dolls, apparently. Or maybe the French people like inhabiting dolls. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe it's a French thing. You know,
I learned something pretty interesting last night. Kind of, it's on topic but off topic. I learned that Thomas Edison created the very first talking doll.
Really?
And it had, yeah, the body of it was made. It was almost 3.5 foot tall. The body of this thing was made of like metal, and inside of it, it had two phonographs, and in order for them to record the voices on this phone, these phonographs, the women that were recording the voices had to yell because it was primitive recording equipment. So when they got it in and they got it all together and they put it on the shelf, it came out really, really creepy sounding, and it freaked everybody out and nobody bought it. So it was like it was supposed to be they had this big marketing campaign and all kinds of stuff, and it just creeped people out. People were going in droves to take this thing back to the store because it creeped their kids out. So
that's funny. That's, yeah.
It is kind of funny.
That is funny. I wish we could have gotten a sound clip for that. That was just to hear what it sounds like, man. It was
creepy.
You know?
Yeah. Oh,
what did it say? I wonder what it said that would be like screaming though, you know, like,
you know, I couldn't really understand it.
Oh, you heard it?
On a television show last night. Yeah, I couldn't really understand it because it was, by that time, older than hell. And, right. You know, and I had a hard time really understanding what they were saying. So,
yeah, that's insane. I didn't even know that about Thomas Edison. You know, you just hear about the light bulb with him, you know, and couple other things yeah. that he did. He did the phonograph too, right? Like that was his thing too.
Yep. Yeah.
See, you learn things here on the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast. See?
That's right. History.
That's right. It may not be true history all the time, but you'll learn some kind of history, I guess.
right.
So let's get into Joliet now. All right. So with Joliet, you know, a woman had received a doll as a pregnancy gift from a friend. And there was a bitter relationship, actually, between the giver and the receiver. So it's kind of weird that they would give a doll like that, you know, to somebody that they didn't really like. But, you know, for other reasons other than to be nice about it, you know. And apparently there was a curse that was believed to be placed on the doll out of jealousy. So it is, yeah, that's pretty crazy, man. I mean, did they say what kind of what kind of like curse it was, like, or how it was cursed? Did we find that out?
So they said there was a pattern established with the very first death has repeated itself with consistency across four generations. Wow. Each family, this doll was handed down down through generations to the first girl of the family that had a baby. So grandmother to granddaughter and whatever. And with each family, the first boy died exactly 3 days after birth every single time. So the firstborn wow. boy after this doll was given died 3 days after birth. So
wow.
pretty, yeah, you can't argue with consistency, and that makes it even more creepy, you know, that it's, yeah. I guess, documented like that.
Yeah. I mean, she must have really hated this lady for a cursed doll like that. Yeah. I mean, that's insane, man.
She hated her and her entire family. I mean, yeah, right? Wow.
Right. In order to be generational, that's insane, man. So the doll, apparently it giggles, it cries. Oh, it actually had giggled when the owner's cat had walked by. So I guess it liked cats. My cat hates me, by the way, but that's a different story for some reason.
I don't like cats. I don't like cats.
I like cats, but she hates me for some reason. I don't get it. I don't get it.
I have one that likes me and one that hates me, but I don't really care. I'm a dog guy, man. I like dogs.
See, dogs cats, like everybody. You know,
the thing about cats is if they were just a little bit bigger, they'd eat you. And that's all they do is look at you and try to figure out how they're going to eat you today. You know, like, I don't know. At least, you know, if you passed over dead today and it was just you and the cat in the room and nobody found you for days, the cat would eat you. But the dog would at least wait 3 days, you know?
Right, right. It would mourn a little bit, I guess, right?
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, there was also screaming that came from the doll, too. That's terrifying.
Yep, yep.
To be able to like hear screaming coming from a doll. They said that the doll is a vessel for all the lost baby boys over the years. So that's interesting too.
It is.
You know, the fact that, I mean, I wonder how maybe they used a Ouija board or something like that to figure that one out. Cause that's quite specific, you know, to know that it's them.
It is. The family still thinks that all the little boys, like you said, died are inside of the doll, which is pretty crazy. But I guess those who've inherited the doll, they have to treat it like it was their son, and they can never like try to dispose of it, because I guess this starts a whole new tragic cycle over again, where each generation knows like what fate likely awaits their male children. So that's the curse is pretty much ended, but they have to treat the doll like a son, and they can't ever even think about getting rid of it. And that's keeping the curse at bay right now.
Wow. And actually they have to, the souls apparently remain in the doll until judgment day. So yeah, so that's,
I don't know who makes all these rules.
Yeah.
I mean, right. I'd really like to know, and who's coming up with these rules, and I don't know. Sometimes I think some stories are just, you know, this is kind of one of them. I don't know. I mean, if it's documented, that's one thing. I don't see any hard proof of it being documented. It sounds just like a story handed down. It's a creepy one.
It's what they call creepypasta, you know, that creepypasta stuff, you know, kind of took a life of its own. But I mean, creepy nonetheless though, man. I mean, if there's any truth to this, this is insane. The fact that souls,
you know, people also don't believe in Robert the doll either, and look what happens there, you know, like
yeah. So we're getting to him. We're getting to that guy.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I think there's been more documented bad stuff that's happened with Robert than there has been with Annabelle.
I think so too.
You know, everybody talks about Annabelle, but Robert is really the one that people got to really watch out for, you know? So we're definitely getting to those guys. That's for sure. So what's this other one? Letta Me Out. The doll's name is Letta. Is that what we're going with?
Yep. So these two brothers in New Wales, Australia, in the 1970s, they were exploring these abandoned houses. And they'd always been inquisitive about the property, and they'd heard countless stories of the house being haunted when they were kids. So they went into this house and they crawled under the floorboards, I guess, in the building, hoping to find some old antiques. But instead they found what looked like a dead child, and it scared the hell out of them, of course. And it was a doll. It had this wicked grin on its face, and it was beneath the house, which is kind of creepy anyway, you know, just alone.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm crawling under a house and I see a doll, I'm just going to crawl right back out and just leave that thing alone, man. Right. People are way more advantageous than I am. Like, I'm not playing with that. It can stay right there, you know? So yeah, when they picked it up, the clothes kind of turned to dust in their hands. They crumbled apart because it was so old. And the house was flooded many times over the years. So they were wondering why the clothes weren't washed away with the flooding, but I guess they just disintegrated in their hands anyway. I guess the doll is over 100 years old. I really don't know what happened with this doll. I know the family had, you know, they'd heard screaming at night. They had their dog turn savage on them and start attacking the doll. And they had to end up storing it away due to problems, because there was, you know, I mean, with all the dolls, you hear the physical manifestations and you hear the voices. And
they had said that Letta actually moved around the house on her own, and that there was strange scuff marks from doll's shoes found each morning. I mean, that's terrifying, man. Just the fact that this thing was actually moving around. I think we're up to the big ones. So let's I'm wondering if we should talk about Robert or Annabelle next. Let's go with Robert. Let's go with Robert, I guess. Let's talk about some Robert the doll. So Robert the doll was actually, is a 40 foot. Oh my God. 40 inches tall.
Huge.
Yeah. Gigantic.
That's scary. That's scary and, in itself.
Stuffed with wood wool. He actually has a little sailor suit. I don't know if anybody's ever seen the pictures, but he's creepy just to look at, this thing. And it's funny too, because the pictures really don't give it justice that it's 40 inches tall. You know, like, from all the pictures, he kind of looks small. You know, he doesn't look like he's 40 inches.
Yeah.
You know, that's almost 4 feet.
Yeah.
You know, that's crazy. So he was given to this boy, what was his name? I think the boy's name was Robert, right?
It was,
I believe the boy's name was Robert. And then after he started, you know, like, really getting attached to the doll, I believe he named the doll Robert, and then he wanted his family to call him a different name.
Yeah. Which is weird.
I don't know if he, yeah.
That's weird.
Which is very weird. And his family was like, no, why would we do that? But he wouldn't answer. He wouldn't do anything until his family started calling him by this other name. I saw that on a special last year on Halloween about Robert the doll. And yeah, I mean, that's weird in itself, like, why he would do that. But
another creepy thing with that is the clothes that were actually on the doll didn't actually come with clothing. Those were Robert's clothing that he put on the doll.
Wow.
So he dressed it in his own old clothing, which is kind of weird. It's going along with what you're saying.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. Oh, actually, here it is. He wanted them to call him Gene. That was the name. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. He wanted them to call him Gene. I don't know where he would get Gene from Robert, but hey, you know, who are we to judge, you know? But yeah, so that's really weird though, that it was his childhood outfits.
So yeah, the activity kind of started immediately after Robert the doll joined the Otto household, right? And the Otto family and their neighbors, they were hearing Robert having conversations in his room, speaking in two different distinct voices, his own childish voice and a deeper voice, more mature, responding back to what he was saying to him. Whenever they asked who he's talking to, Robert would claim it's Robert the doll, which is creepy.
Yeah. And actually, once it started really getting into it, neighbors had seen Robert moving from window to window. And, you know, when there was nobody home, I mean, that's terrifying.
Yeah. Neighborhood kids said when they were walking to school, it would mock them from the window because it ended up getting locked into an attic, right? Because the family just couldn't take it anymore. I might have jumped ahead there a little bit, but they ended up locking it in an attic, and the kids would say it was sitting, they would come and tell Gene, who he went by Gene later, that the doll was sitting at the window and it was watching them and mocking them walking by. And Gene said, well, that's impossible because it isn't sitting by the window. I put it over on top of a box in the corner. So he went up and investigated himself and found the doll sitting in a rocking chair in front of a window, not where he put it. So he moved it back to the box. And a couple of days later, went back up and checked on it, and it was moved back to the rocking chair in front of the window again, which is crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and the parents, you know, as you said, you know, the parents would hear different voices coming from the room, and they would also find, you know, furniture overturned and broken toys and all this stuff. And of course, they would blame Gene because they would be like, well, it has to be you doing that. And Gene would be like, no, it was Robert. It wasn't me. You know, so that's crazy. And he actually, so after that, I believe he went to another owner. I think he was in the family for a little bit.
Yep.
He got passed down to a couple owners after that, that had also claimed, that there was something definitely wrong with Robert. And that I believe, if I remember correctly from the special that I saw, one of the last owners that had him, treated him like a son almost, and like was really treating him nice, like, and she was very like very protective over Robert, you know, very protective, and it, almost as if it was her real child, up until she died, and then he got put into a museum.
Yep. So as soon as he arrived at the four. What was it? Fort East Martello Museum. It was 1994. And That's when supernatural weird things started happening to the staff there. I know there's an account of a plumber who was working on some plumbing, as plumbers do. And he heard some giggling and he turned around to find the doll had actually moved across the room on its own. And he knew this because when he walked in the room, he saw the doll's expression and didn't like it. It gave him the creeps. So he heard the giggling. He turned around. The doll was moved across the room. Bro, I'll be out of there quick. You know, like, I ain't messing with that. I'm not messing with that, man. I'm such a sissy. I'm not messing with that, dude.
I would love to see Robert the doll at the museum. But you know that when you go to see Robert, there are a certain set of rules that you're supposed to follow.
Well, one of the most simple rules that he has is just be respectful. And if you want to take a picture of him, you have to ask his permission out loud. That's one of the most simple rules to Robert. And a lot of people don't believe that.
So that was the one thing that I always thought, like, because I've talked to some people at work about it too, and they're like, oh, so you have to ask permission. Yeah. So how do you know that he gave you the permission? I don't know. You know, you just kind of...
Yeah, that's a good question.
You know, like, you just kind of have to be like, listen, you know, is it all right if I take your picture? Okay, then, you know, like, thanks for not letting me know, you know, just, you know, but yeah, you have to introduce yourself. You have to say hello. You have to say goodbye. I don't know if you have to bring him anything. I don't think so. I think you just, like you said, I think you just have to kind of be respectful. But here's a thing that I just found out recently. I had did a, me and, the Nat Man had did an interview with, Gina Black, who's an influencer on Instagram. And she actually just wrote a book also. And I'll put that in the show notes so everybody could check it out. She had went to the museum recently and that they actually had stopped putting the rules up, saying that you don't have to say the rules anymore. So you wonder if that was like a legal thing or something, you know, because the thing is, people that weren't following these rules, I mean, Robert gets hundreds of letters from people apologizing.
Right, about a liability thing. Yeah. Liability, you're right.
You know, like, Robert gets hundreds of letters, thousands of letters a year saying, I'm sorry I didn't follow the rules. Please, you know, please take the curse off of me. You know, I'm sorry I didn't do this. I'm sorry. And like by really scared people that believe that whatever's happening in their life is due to, you know, due to how they treated Robert.
So I have one of the letters. It's just a short letter that, that this lady wrote for Robert. It says, sorry, I did not ask out loud in quotations to take your photo. Since then, my husband has lost his diamond, the diamond out of his ring. I tore my rotator cuff. Plus my daughter's wedding was canceled. All this happened before I returned home from visiting you. Please stop the curse. I am truly sorry. Life is hard enough. So, I mean,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's it's,
I mean, it almost sounded like coincidental until you said that it happened before she went home.
Yeah.
You know, that right there kind of seals the deal. Like, wow, that all happened. Like, that's crazy.
I was talking to my buddy about Robert the Doll once. And I said, so if you would go there, because he doesn't believe in anything. I said, if you go there, if you and I were to go there, would you actually take a picture of him? And he said, yeah. And I said, would you ask? And he said, I don't think I'd ask, man. And I said, well, I'm asking, man. I'm not trying to get any more bad luck than I already have, man. I'm asking. He says, yeah, but he goes, I'll be honest with you. He goes, I think what happens is people that don't ask, it gets into their head. And then they put this, they manifest this out into the open themselves. And then they start noticing little things happening. And they're like, oh, that must be Robert the Doll, you know? I mean, there may be some truth behind that too, because I really believe that you can put stuff out there that you, I mean, we've talked about it on the last show, you know?
Yeah.
You can put stuff out, you can manifest stuff yourself just by putting it out there. So,
sure.
Who knows? I don't know, man. You know, that's the best thing about the paranormal is nobody knows for sure. There's no experts. There's no, you know, there's only people that have extensive knowledge and knowledge of stories and things that happened or their own stories. Nobody is an actual expert on it. And really, to me, anybody that claims to be an expert on it is, nah, I won't believe them. I won't believe a word they say because I don't think there is a real expert in this field.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I believe don't recall who actually said it, but you know, what a lot of people say is you can't be an expert in a pseudoscience, you know, and paranormal is a pseudoscience, you know, so you can't really be an expert at that, you know, UFOlogy, you know, it's a pseudoscience.
Yep.
Like you said, you could know a lot about certain things and know a lot about the stories and possibly know a lot about the witnesses and the people and the history and stuff, but you can't really be considered an expert.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, man, I would definitely follow the rules too. You know, just because what if it really is, but you know, I don't want to find out.
Yeah. Why would you take the chance? You know? Why would you take the chance? Just, right. it's a simple, easy thing to do. You ask, you know, you say hello, it's easy, man. Why even mess with it?
Because you want to be edgy and be like, no, I'm not following the rules. I'm just going to, you know, come on, man. Just everybody else is doing it. Just say, hi, how you doing, Robert? How's it going? Can I take a picture? Yeah. You know, I don't think that's such a big deal. You know, I guess people think they're going to be stupid or feel stupid, but that's the rules of the doll. So obviously everybody else is going to be doing it, or most everybody else, you know, so what the hell, you know?
Why not?
So, yeah. So Robert, one day I will get down there, man. It's far though. It's all the way in Key West, Florida. So that's at the tip of Florida, bro. That's nowhere near Orlando, nowhere near Miami. Like that's really far out there. But if anybody listening that's ever seen any of these dolls up close or have visited Robert, give us a call, leave us a voicemail, 845-600-0744, and let us know about it. And also, you know, you could email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com as well and let us know that way too.
Yeah, it'd be really cool to hear firsthand accounts of somebody who's seen it. Just even if you've just seen them and nothing happened, it would be really cool to hear about it because these things are, they're almost legendary, you know, and it just being in the same room with something so storied and legendary, it has to give off some sort of energy that you know, it's kind of cool. You know, it's like when you go to a medieval castle. I don't know how many people ever have gone to a medieval castle out there, but you know, it's kind of a cool thing. You go in and you're like, damn, they fought battles here. This place, you know, this is crazy. Like you can just feel like it's just a place where you feel things, you know, like it's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. And yeah, check out the Get Haunted Paranormal Network. Also, we're part of the network as well as like 20 other awesome paranormal podcasts. So definitely check them out because they put out great, great, great stuff. And yeah. And I had done an interview with the two people from the Get Haunted Paranormal podcast a few episodes ago. So definitely go check that out if you want to know more about them. So I guess this is the time to talk about the big one, the big bitch in the room.
You said it, man. Not me. You said it. I ain't saying it.
she's not around, right? I'm not going to hear any knocking on my door. That's that door, man. That door likes to knock at me for some reason. So
if I see a Raggedy Ann doll pop up behind you, I'm telling you what, man. This episode's over. I'm shutting the laptop. I'm done.
All right. So let's talk about Annabelle. All right. You want to get started with Annabelle?
Sure. I mean, her story it begins in 1970. A girl named Donna, who was 25 years old, she was a nursing student. She received, what would become the world's most infamous haunted doll as a birthday gift from her mom. The real Annabelle isn't like in the movies with, you know, the scary porcelain looking thing. It was just a Raggedy Ann doll. And I mean, I don't know. When I was a kid, Raggedy Ann dolls were all over the place. They were big. Raggedy Ann and Andy, you know, they looked like somebody crocheted them. I don't know what you call it. They weren't anything fantastic. And I don't understand why they were so popular, really. But, yeah, they were. So she shared an apartment in, I think it was Hartford, Connecticut, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, with her roommate, whose name was Angie, and she was also a nursing student. And according to the case file from the New England Society of Psychic Research, which, you know, the Warrens, of course, founded in, I think, 52. This is all based on that. What I have is from the case file of that. So, yeah, initially the roommates, they started hearing weird things and they dismissed them. And there was little small occurrences and coincidences and, you know, they just dismissed them as, you know, just nothing, you know, like you do. You know, I do it all the time. My kids are like, I saw something. I'm like, yeah, you didn't see anything. Yeah. And, sure. And then, you know, they scare the hell out of me. But the doll began leaving handwritten notes on parchment paper. And yeah, how do we know it's the doll? I don't know. But the most fascinating part about that whole aspect of the story is neither of the girls owned any parchment paper, which was kind of weird. And this isn't like, you know, you're baking parchment paper. This is like old parchment paper that just came out of nowhere, you know? The messages were pretty simple. They were kind of scary. They said, "Help us and help Lou." And that's kind of fascinating because Lou was actually Donna's boyfriend, who was not very fond of the doll at all. He had an immediate dislike of it and felt uneasy around it. So that's kind of, you know, I mean, some people can pick up on little things like that, you know, and I think that's an important aspect of the story is that he knew right away that something was off with it, you know? But then there was...
This all sounds like a...
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Like a movie, right? It does sound like a movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, it all sounds like a movie I've seen. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the movie was... it was kind of close, man, to the actual stuff. I mean, there were some creative liberties taken, you know? But...
of course.
I think that for the most part, it was pretty close to what happened, you know? Like... in a nutshell anyway. It was without all the Hollywood fluff, you know?
Sure. I mean, well, that's, I mean, you gotta put some of that stuff aside, just like in the Amityville Horror and all that stuff too,
yep.
You know, same type of stuff. But yeah. So actually, and Lou had actually had some encounters as well, right?
So yeah, he had these vivid recurring nightmares about the doll attacking him. And one in particular incident, he claimed to wake up in the middle of the night feeling like he was partially paralyzed, which sounds like sleep paralysis because you know how that happens. But in this state that he was in, he said he reported seeing Annabelle slowly climbing up his chest towards his throat. And of course, you know, it scared the hell out of him. I would lose my marbles if that happened to me, man. I would go check myself into a facility. Like, I'm done. Like, keep me away from that, you know? So yeah, that's one of the encounters that I know of. Do you know of any other ones that he had with it?
You know, just that he had, you know, many nightmares and stuff, you know, night terrors and stuff about the doll attacking him. Also, one thing that I had heard was that with Annabelle, that they would, the first actual occurrence with Annabelle where the girls knew that there was something up with her was they used to like, you know, bring Annabelle, put her on the bed, you know, put her, and they started bringing her down for breakfast every day. And they had put her on in a chair, sitting on the chair for breakfast. And her hands moved from her lap and placed right on the table in front. And the girls saw this happen. And it didn't scare them, actually, though.
Nope.
It intrigued them more for them to find out more. And that's when they had gotten a medium and they used the Ouija board, of course. And
do you know why, Joe? I don't want to cut you off, but you know why it didn't scare them? Because women are crazy. I'm just saying women are crazy because my wife is the same way, man. She would be like, well, why is it him? And I'm already out of the room, man, because if I see a doll moving his hands and put it on the table, dude, I'm telling you what, there ain't any amount of eggs and bacon that are going to keep me in that room. And I love me some eggs and bacon, man. Like, but I'm not playing around with some moving ass dolls, yeah, Joe. Yeah. I'm not doing
that's,
it. Dude.
That's when you don't even take the doll and like put it in a garbage pail and light it on fire. You just light the whole house on fire. Just be like, you know what? It's we'll figure something out.
Yeah.
We're not dealing with this anymore. That's it. That's not going to happen.
You know? How does that not creep you out? How does that not creep you out? Would that creep you out? Be honest. Would that creep you out?
And it's a Raggedy Ann doll. So, you know, like those arms are floppy. Like they're not like He-Man arms, you know, like that's insane.
They aren't even poseable. They're just like floppy sewn on arms stuffed with stuffing, you know, like no, man. I mean, that would creep you out though, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I mean, and like I said, I'm a ghost guy, man. Like I love this stuff. If I hear a noise or if something knocks on my door now, I'm going to go and see what the hell it is. You know, like I'm inquisitive like that, but no, not dolls, man. Not dolls. Nope.
Not gonna happen. I'll go see what it is too. But if there's a ghost standing out there, I'm done. I'm gone. I'm like, nah, man, I'm done. Like I'm brave to a point. I'll go check it out. But if I see some stuff, nah.
So, all right. So Annabelle is also, another occurrence. Annabelle, eventually, you know, Annabelle went down the channels and stuff and she wound up in, she didn't even go down the channels. I'm sorry. The girls had actually contacted Ed and Lorraine, were put in touch with Ed and Lorraine. And Ed and Lorraine were like, you know what? You can't have this doll. Like we have to keep this doll safe. Because they found out that it wasn't what the medium and the Ouija board had said was that it was a spirit of a little girl that was inhabiting the doll. Yep. But then they realized that it wasn't. And that's the thing too, that a lot of people don't know. And it's the same thing as the black-eyed children. You know about the lore of the black-eyed children? Okay, so the black-eyed children, they're not children. They're demons, you know, that are posing as children because they want you to let them in your house. They want to gain your trust, you know? So what better way for this demon to gain their trust than to say, oh, I'm a little girl, you know, like, of course, you know, so, you know, why don't you do this for me? Why don't you do that for me? You know, and it wasn't. So the Warrens ended up taking the doll and placing her in their haunted paranormal museum with hundreds of other haunted items that they have there. I honestly, I know there's a lot of flack with the Warrens. I love the Warrens. I think they were super,
me too,
super intelligent, very, you know, and they were good people, you know, they just wanted to help people. So, you know, there's a lot of nasty things that go around about them, but I really don't believe that stuff. I think that they truly were who they said they were, regardless of the Conjuring movies and all that stuff, you know, the real people. Actually, and also I had gotten an audiobook of one of their books. I have a few others that I have to listen to. One called The Demonologist. So good, man. Mm-hmm. So good, that book.
I read Did that you? Book.
I didn't read it. I'm not a very good reader, like, as far as that. So, but I listened to the audiobook, and the dude that narrated that audiobook was amazing. You know, and the stories in that book were incredible. And terrifying, you know, and I was like, wow, this is really good. And in that book also, Ed also talks about, he gives a lot of facts behind demonic possession and, you know, Annabelle and all this other stuff. So it's a great book. So if you guys ever want to check out like a really good book, The Demonologist is excellent with Ed and Lorraine Warren.
You know, one thing I always wondered about the Annabelle doll is, you know, they put it in that museum and it's in a case, it's glass and it's got wooden, it's like a special glass. I don't know what kind of glass it is, but it's wooden. It's like a wooden box of sin. And I always wondered, how does that keep Annabelle from doing things, you know? But I found out in this research that they actually spritzed it with holy water and then inscribed the Lord's Prayer several times in the wood in the box to keep it from, I guess, I don't know, coming out or doing things. So that's, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. I mean, and unfortunately, and this kind of sucks because when I had moved from New York City to upstate New York about 5 years ago. And when I got up here, I said, wait a second. Isn't the Warrens Museum in Connecticut? And I'm like 20 minutes from Connecticut. Like, what? Maybe I could go see the museum. And it's shut down indefinitely. There was a story about, I believe it was just some guy that came into the museum and to see Annabelle one time, and he was taunting it, you know, saying, "Oh, do something," you know, like poking at it and stuff, and really not taking it seriously. And apparently he got into a car accident on the way home that day. Or a motorcycle accident. Yeah.
I heard about that in a priest that shouted at Annabelle. He claimed that he was shouting that no demonic force is more powerful than the Lord. And I guess when he came to the museum, he was driving a brand new car and he destroyed it in a head-on collision with a tractor trailer the same day that all that happened. So, and that came right from Tony Spira. So that's one of the stories that he shares. So
yeah,
pretty interesting, man. I don't know why you'd want
to
challenge something like that. You know, like I, even if you don't believe it, why would you want to challenge something like that? You know, same as, you know, Robert the doll. Why would you want to challenge that, man? Just,
I mean, and,
let it be.
And if you don't believe it, then don't go see it. So, you know, like that's just, don't go near it, you know?
Yeah.
But actually, the Annabelle has been in the news lately, too. We had talked about this not long ago. Annabelle has been in the news because, well, for a couple of reasons, right? So Annabelle's been going on tour with Tony Spira. You know, he's been taking Annabelle along with a bunch of other haunted objects from the museum, which I think is great because, you know, Since the museum is shut down, people want to see these things. That's how I met Annabelle too, from a Paracon that I went to. And by the way, if you want to see, they actually show the process when they take Annabelle out of the case and they put her into like the travel case that they use, they do prayers and they, you know, they do all this stuff just to have Annabelle travel. So this is a serious thing, man. It's not like, oh yeah, yeah, then they just throw her in a suitcase and bring her to wherever. No, they're really serious about Annabelle and how dangerous she is.
Spears says she's the most dangerous object in the whole entire museum. So
yeah,
I mean, I
believe they got some crazy things in that museum. Let me tell you. So
yeah,
she's been in the news because on one of her tours, she had went to, I believe it was Louisiana. Oh, it was the Nottoway Plantation had mysteriously burnt down while she was not far from the area. That's one thing. And then the other thing that they're kind of attributing Annabelle to is a little odd to be attributing this to her, but that there was a prison break that happened with 10 inmates actually that got that had escaped. It had nothing to do with, you know, the many people that helped them escape. You know, just Annabelle. It was Annabelle. You know, she did that.
People just like to reach for anything, you know, like in when things like that are going on, right. You know, it's just like entering a 4chan chat room or something. They just pull some excuses and some reasoning out for no reason other than to just try to stir the pot, I guess. You know, the thing that I like about it is that it's getting people talking about it again and getting people, absolutely, you know, keeping her fresh, because I think it's a pretty important story overall to keep out there. You know, know your enemy, know what you're looking at, know what you're getting into, know what you have, you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know? Don't just mess around and dabble willy nilly without knowing, you know, don't just stick your toe in.
Right.
You know, figure it out.
And then
first.
the other rumor that was going around was that Annabelle was missing.
I heard
missing.
That too.
And that was just a rumor, everybody. Annabelle was never missing. You know, she was with Tony Spira, as she always is, you know, who is the person who is now running the Warrens Museum. It's their son-in-law that is pretty much in charge of everything now. And yeah, she was never missing, not one bit. But wouldn't it be crazy if she was? Like if she was behind like a locked thing or whatever and just disappeared, like that would be a pretty insane thing.
If she isn't missing, then who's that Raggedy Ann doll standing behind you right now?
Oh man. sorry about that comment. Sorry. yeah, hopefully I don't get canceled for that comment. But no, but you know, it's crazy, like these rumors that come up, because everybody heard, oh, she's on tour, so they got to make up these things. And if it didn't come from Tony Spira himself, it's not true. Like,
yeah,
she was never missing. So my 11-year-old had actually brought that to my attention too. My 11-year-old daughter goes, oh, did you hear Annabelle's missing? I said, no, she's not. Yeah, she is. It's all over. I said, no, she's not. If anybody would know if Annabelle is missing, it'd be me. And then, of course, my wife has to chime in and say, don't you know who you're talking to? You're talking to Ghost Joe. You know, like, oh, That's right. I know my stuff, man. Listen, if Annabelle was missing, I'd know, all right? Because I just know.
You're following it.
That's right.
Yeah.
But no, Annabelle is definitely the, I mean, I don't know though. What would you think? Do you think Annabelle or do you think Annabelle and Robert are kind of neck and neck with the stuff?
I think they're kind of neck and neck. I'll be honest. I think that Annabelle's worse than, I wouldn't mess with Annabelle over Robert. And the only reason is because Robert has rules, and if you abide by them rules, you're good. Annabelle doesn't have any rules. When you take her out of that case, she doesn't have any rules, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and that's scary. So I'd rather deal with something that has rules that I could follow than something that is just devious and doesn't have those rules, you know?
Right. Because, well, going back to Robert, do they know what's inhabiting Robert? Did they ever say what's actually inhabiting him? Did anybody ever find out, really?
No, I don't believe so. And I mean, I think that it comes from wherever the doll came from. I think that because it was made in like down in Jamaica or something like that, wasn't it? So, the doll was?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that whoever made that doll and who knows how they made that doll because, and it's a one of a kind doll, which is crazy. So maybe it was like a spirit doll or a voodoo doll or whatever to begin with. And, you know, the dude just bought it and had no clue what he was buying. Again, know what you're getting, know what you're buying, you know, because
absolutely,
you just never know.
Robert's reach goes really far though. I mean, some of these people, after they've seen Robert, they'll go back to wherever they can, you know, cause he's in a museum. So people from, I guess, all around the country, all around the world go see Robert in this museum. So they could go back home to wherever, California or something. And all this crazy stuff is happening. So his reach is pretty good, man. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
But I mean, again, though, I mean, Annabelle, yeah, she, I mean, and I guess it also goes back to the same thing as far as with Robert, we don't really know what's inhabiting him, but if it's a spirit, that's way different than the demonic entity that's in Annabelle. So, you know,
yeah. I mean, at least Annabelle's breaking people out of prison and stuff and, you know, doing stuff.
Right, like right.
That's so stupid. Why would people are so dumb. Like, why would you connect that? What is the connection there? That's what
I just
know.
Picture like a Raggedy Ann doll, like throwing like keys to somebody or something like, yeah, you know, or like bulldozing like the side of a prison, you know, and Annabelle in a bulldozer,
it's crazy,
you know,
man.
Breaking down the wall of the prison. But yeah, that's funny. I mean, come on, you know, but I guess that's the fun of it too, though. You know, whatever. It's all good, you know.
I got a surprise doll for you, man.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Have you ever heard of the haunted Disney Elsa doll?
I have not.
So it's kind of a cool story. And it's one of those viral stories that, I mean, it took off virally. That's how it got well known back in 2020. But there was this family in Houston, Texas that, in 2013, they bought this, one of those Elsa dolls from the store for their daughter. And for a long time, it was just a regular old doll. You know what I mean? It just, the kid played with it. You pushed the button and it sang Let It Go or Snow or whatever the heck that song is. And it was all good. All right. And then the kid lost interest in it. And over the years, and I think it was like seven years later or something like that. Yeah, 7 years later, it's like 2020, the doll just started speaking in Spanish. It just started saying, let it go in Spanish. And I guess there is a Spanish switch on the doll, but they said it was doing right. whether it was switched on or off. And I guess they didn't even know that the switch was there until later. And even more unsettling, the doll continued to speak and giggle even when it was turned off. And even when the batteries were not in it anymore, it was still singing and giggling, which is pretty dang creepy. So even more creepy, the mother, her name was Emily. She decided she had had enough of it and threw the doll away. And then weeks later, she went to open a wooden bench that was in her living room and the doll was in the wooden bench, which is pretty creepy. So
wow.
She double bagged the doll and placed it in the bottom of their garbage can under bags so that nobody, you know, even knew it was there. Nobody would have known it was there. And then the trash came and then they went out to dinner and they came home and they found the doll in their backyard. Which is pretty creepy too.
Wow.
So I guess she was telling her friend who lived in Minnesota about this. And he said, you know what? I'll take the doll. I'll take it. So she was getting ready to get this doll shipped up and, you know, no batteries in it, no anything. And she's getting ready to put it in a box. And I guess the doll let out this laugh. It lasted almost 30 seconds. And she, of course, was glad to get rid of it. Packed it up, sent it to Minnesota. And for some reason, I don't know why, the guy who got it in Minnesota, who was her friend, taped it to the front of his Jeep and promised that if anything weird happens, he was going to weld her into a steel pipe and sink it in the lake of the woods. Okay. Why would you? I don't know, man. People, why, man? So anyway, he said the doll had a weird aura to it and he ended up taking off the front of his Jeep and packing it away. And I think he still has it. But the cool thing about that story is, you know, she posted about it, I believe on her social media, you know, Facebook and that. And it, the story kind of took off, you know, it became a really big thing, even on TikTok and all that. That people were talking about this doll. And it's kind of neat how things like that happen. But yeah, she swears to this day that that thing was, you know, I guess the most unsettling part of that is throwing it away twice and it comes back. You know, that's.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's time to It's time to burn it at that point or just move out. Leave the doll in the house. That's what I would do.
Right.
You can have the house. Right. It's yours.
Yep.
I like that story. Yeah. And it's a simple story. It's not a long story, but it's another doll. And it's
recent.
Yeah.
Which is even crazier. I mean, it was 2020, you know, right there.
Oh.
One
cool aspect that I left out is, you know, you might think, how does she know that this was the same doll and somebody wasn't messing with her? But I guess like years before all this, her daughter had written on it with a Sharpie marker on its cheek. And that's how she knew it was the same doll when it came back, because it still had that marker on it.
Wow.
So yeah. Creepy, man. Dolls are just creepy. You know, you can have I don't like stuffed animals either, man. Like, they're creepy too. It's the eyes, man. It's the eyes.
Yeah, man. So I guess we're going to close this one out. You know, I hope you guys enjoyed the creepy doll episode. And, again, if you have any experiences with creepy dolls or any kind of paranormal experience, let us know. 845-600-0744. Email me, ghostjoeny@gmail.com. We'll play it on the show. And actually, also, I wanted to mention this too, is that I just put 4 new designs up on our Bonfire store that's going to be in the show notes on every episode, with the logos of the show. And if you buy any of the shirts, any of the proceeds that would go to us go straight to charity. And that goes straight from the Bonfire store. We don't touch any money or anything, and it just goes straight from Bonfire to the charities that are in there. So if anybody wants to help out with some charities and wear some Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast merch, that would be cool. And go to the Bonfire store, and I'll have the link down there for anybody that wants to go.
Go buy some merch.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll have some more stuff going on there too. You know, hopefully, I'll try and put some hats and all this other stuff too. But for now, we just have the shirts, and yeah, man, they're pretty cool too. They're pretty cool. I like them. I like them. I'm going to have to get a few myself too. You know, with some of the new logo on them, because we put some new logos out too for the new season, you know, with our new addition here, Ken. So, you know,
awesome.
And yeah, man. Next week's episode, hopefully you guys are going to enjoy that one. Next week's episode is going to be all about the Ape Canyon incident. That's what they're calling it.
Right? Yes, sir.
Ape Canyon
incident. Ape Canyon incident of 1924.
So definitely check that out and enjoy your week. And we'll talk to you guys next time.
See ya
later. Thank you for listening to the Warp Reality Paranormal Podcast, and thank you to all of my guests and contributors that help make this show possible. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest in the show, please leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744, or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, please check out our show notes for all social media links of this show and some of our friends. The Warp Reality Paranormal Podcast, uncovering the unseen.